It's the Sports Talk Podcast with Ryan Furen giving you the hottest sports takes in town. You can reach Ryan through Facebook, email, and Twitter. Now it's time to start the show. Here's Ryan.
Welcome back with another edition of the Sports Talk Podcast with Ryan Furen right here on podbean.com. Last night, the Boston Celtics win a huge game, Game 5 in Miami. They win it 94-90, and they are one game away from going to the NBA Finals. And I don't care who you are. I don't care if you consider yourself the biggest Celtics fan. I don't care if you are Kevin Garnett, Rajon Rondo, Paul Pierce, Doc Rivers, Danny Ainge. I don't care. You did not think at the beginning of this season, even at the beginning of these playoffs, that they would be in this position. Now, they're not there yet, but they have a chance on Thursday night to close out this series and go to the NBA Finals. And like I said, it doesn't matter who you are, nobody thought that they would be able to do this. It is an amazing run that the Celtics are on right now. And it's just unbelievable the way that they're playing. They came together last night. Tough game last night, but we'll get into that. Here as we start the show, our second edition of Sports Talk, of course, tweet the show. Tweet what you thought of last night's game five in Miami. Twitter.com/SportsTalkRF, @SportsTalkRF. And of course, the Podbean URL, SportsTalk with Ryan Ferrand, podbean.com. And as of today, June 6th, Wednesday, this podcast was submitted to iTunes, so I'm just waiting for them to approve it, and hopefully the show will get on iTunes as well. So we have two places to listen to the show. Let's get into Celtics Heat last night from Miami. Skeptical going into it last night whether or not the Celtics were going to be able to pull it out. Obviously, Miami was at home. Obviously, they were going to get the benefit of the calls, but it was a tough game both ways. Tough back-and-forth battle between both teams. Both teams were on the top of their game, really hard-fought battle. I just think that the Celtics, they had the better D. You know, clutch D at numerous times in that game, especially late. Kevin Garnett with some really, really intense and timely shot blocks. You also had the huge play of Rondo after the Dwayne block on Brandon Bass, getting the ball out to Michael Petras. We'll also be getting into that. But I thought it was just a good team win for the Celtics, and they relied on everybody. Even the bench help came in. Even if it was just Marquise Daniels out there just for defensive purposes, it was a huge team win. And now they're on the road back to Boston for game number 6. With a chance to close it out at home, obviously they'll be getting the benefit of those calls as well. A few key plays from last night's game. As I said, Kevin Garnett, some really big shot blocks at the end of the game, at the end of the fourth quarter. A huge one on Dwayne Wade late in that game. Very, very timely. Kevin Garnett stepping up huge. Also, when he got fouled, he was able to get, when he went up for the two, he hit the two and then he hit the one free throw, and then he also hit both of his free throws at the end of the game that sort of iced it. I thought that was huge from Kevin Garnett. He's been the heart and soul of your team ever since the All-Star break. And for him to keep stepping up, it's been huge for Boston. And hopefully it's only going to continue, because next game is the biggest one. Last night was the biggest one so far in these playoffs, but now game 6 is the biggest game for the Boston Celtics. But getting back into last night, I also love the play of Rajon Rondo. Didn't make a huge impact on the score sheet, but I mean, he was out there, and he was staying with the play at all times. Never gives up on a play. That's what I love about Rajon Rondo in key spots. He just doesn't give up on the play, especially down late. He went up for the layup, and he missed, so he goes out of bounds under the basket, but no one was in the lane to get the rebound for the Heat, so he just swoops in and gets it, and it's an easy two. And I just love that play from Rajon Rondo. Very aggressive. And like I said, again, stays with the play. And it helps create offense for the Celtics. And we saw it on the Brandon Bass block by Dwayne Wade. Bass was going in. He was going to go driving in for a dunk. And a good, really good block from Dwayne Wade hits it, and the ball goes out very far. And it was just great position and great awareness for Rajon Rondo to get to it and somehow almost push it over to Michael Petras, who was wide open for a three, drained it. And that was a huge play. It wasn't the biggest play. That was certainly up there, though. You also got to give it up to Michael Petras for knocking down huge three-pointers all game long. There were open shots, obviously, but he still has to make them. A lot of good three-point shooters in that situation, yeah, they're good shooters and they can hit open shots, but I mean, under that amount of pressure, he needs to hit those shots to make huge impact on the game. And so if he doesn't hit them, that's going to put the Celtics in a bad position. So good for him to hit those shots. When he had the opportunity, he hit those wide-open looks. So that was huge for the Celtics as well. That play came at 6:02 left in the fourth. And the Heat were up 78-72 at that point. And that was a huge, huge point in the game. I thought another huge point in the game. This came with 2:15 left in the fourth quarter. Petras drained the other wide-open three-pointer. There was a scrum on the floor. Ray Allen was able to get the ball out to Pierce, and then Pierce kicked it out to Michael Petras, who was wide open. But I love that play because it was so late in the game. Like I said, Chalmers had just hit a huge three-pointer. He had the technical on Petras at the other end of the court. And for him to come back all the way down the other end and drain a huge three, that was brilliant for Chalmers. So it's 83-82 at that point, and Petras steps up, hits that open three, puts the Celtics back on top. And of course, the biggest play of the game. It was unbelievable when I saw it. I couldn't believe that this was actually going to happen, but it did. Paul Pierce, with 54 seconds left in the game, comes in on LeBron. LeBron's on him, but he's able to get just a smidge of separation. Just the slightest opening between him and LeBron. And he takes it. He jumps on that chance. He says, you know what, LeBron? Hey, this is how it's done. This is what being clutch, and this is what playoff basketball is all about. He could have been conservative. He could have tried to pass it off, try to go into the lane, get fouled, whatever. But what he did was ballsy right there. He stepped up, saw his chance, and said, I'm going to take it. Takes it, drains it. It was unbelievable. That's one of those shots where he's saying, no, no. And then, boom, it goes in. He drained it. Unbelievable. And he comes back to the bench, and I noticed that Doc Rivers said nothing to him. Because you know what Doc Rivers was about to say? He was about to get on him for taking that shot. And then so when he makes it, and then it was a timeout for the Heat, he just doesn't say anything to him. I thought that was incredible. That whole play was incredible. And obviously that ends up icing the game. Because after that happens, and the Heat are able to get a quick two from Dwayne Wade, or I believe it was Dwayne Wade, they have to foul. So having that three-pointer in our back pocket, now that's really helping us when we send Ray Allen to the line, and he drains both three throws. Also, KG got to the line, drained both three throws. So that was huge. The biggest play in the game, and he had been cold pretty much all game up to that point. But he took it. He didn't shy away from it, which was very encouraging to see. And so, up to this point for the Boston Celtics, it has been a wild sort of ride here in the city, and it is just unbelievable to see what the Celtics are able to put together. The first question in Doc Rivers' press conference last night was, how are you doing this? And it's just like, that's what the question that I believe all of us have here in the city is, how are they doing this? It's incredible. They're getting great play from all these veterans on their team. And Rajon Rondo is really putting it together. I mean, I've been a Rajon Rondo doubter for a long time now, especially throughout this season and throughout these playoffs. But he's showing me something right now. He is showing me that maybe you shouldn't look to trade him. Maybe he is the future of the team. Yeah, he can't shoot, but maybe he can work on it. We saw that in game two, hitting three-pointers left and right. Maybe, maybe as he gets older, maybe he's just too young at this time. We know he's been in the league for a while now, but maybe we're writing him off too early. He's showing us what we can do. I don't know if I'm completely turned over to say don't trade Rondo, because if there was an unbelievable offer on the table, I might have to take it. But right now, throughout these playoffs, Rondo's making at least me question my original opinions of him. I don't know about everybody else. Maybe that's something that you guys can contribute to the show on Twitter, but that's just what I think. It's really, he's turning me around, saying, you know, look at what this guy can do. Even if he's not scoring, which usually he doesn't, but he's in the game. He's giving you chances. He's generating offense. He's giving you scoring opportunities. And that's really what his sole purpose is out there, because he's not a great shooter, but he generates the offense. The offense flows through Rajon Rondo. He sets up these old guys. And these old guys are getting it done. And these old guys are beating what the class is in the Eastern Conference, the Miami Heat. And it's just been incredible to watch so far what they've been able to do, put it together. And last night was great basketball. From beginning to end, it was great. Now, I've said before that I don't really like basketball too much. I'm more of a hockey person. But I don't hate basketball. I just don't prefer the sport, because it can get chippy a lot with players and as well as the officials. We've seen a few times in the series and throughout the playoffs as well how the officials can really ruin a game. When the officials are calling fouls every 2 minutes and it's just free throw contest, that's when it gets boring for me. And that's when I hate it. But when it's like what we had last night, good, tough basketball all the way through, and especially a very entertaining fourth quarter for both teams, for the whole game. I mean, it was just crazy, and it was great television, great stuff to watch last night. And so that's when you gotta love basketball, when it's just so entertaining like that. And it was last night. It was very, very entertaining. And my prediction for game number 6, the Celtics have had troubles closing out games when they need to. We saw that in the Atlanta series. We saw that in the Philadelphia series. We were on the road in game 6 up 3-2 and we couldn't do it. I just think that it's going to change. For me, the Celtics win on Thursday night. I think they have what it takes. I don't see this going back to Miami. I just see that it's sort of just been building for the Celtics. Like, different circumstances in Philadelphia. They were on the road as opposed to being at home. So when things got tough in Philadelphia in Game 6, they had that card in their back pocket to say, well, we can always go home for Game number 7. Now it's, if you lose Game 6 at home, you have to go back to Miami for Game 7. And I know that the refs weren't as involved in the game last night as they have been at other points in the series, but I don't want a Game 7 on the road. Because the last meaningful Game 7 that the Celtics played on the road, we lost. Big time. And it was the Game 7 in the 2010 Finals against the Lakers in LA. That game was handed over to the Lakers. I know that the Celtics missed a lot of shots going down the stretch. They had the lead and they missed a lot of shots. But the majority, pretty much all of the calls in that fourth quarter in the 2010 Finals Game 7 in Los Angeles, they went to the Lakers. And so I don't want that for the Heat. I don't want that in Miami. So you got to get it done. And if I was Doc, I would show that. I would say, look it, we've tried this before. We've tried to close out a huge Game 7 on the road. And it failed. So we got to do it tonight, Game 6. And that's what he should be saying Thursday night. Again, Thursday night, the Celtics will play game number 6 of the Eastern Conference Finals in the TD Garden, Boston. That game will be on ESPN as well as 93.7 WEI-FM. 8:30 p.m. will be the tip-off. We're going to get to a little Sox talk coming up next. We're going to be talking about Daniel Bard and what the hell's going on with him right after this. Back in here on Sports Talk, powered exclusively by Podbean.com. Again, Twitter at Sports Talk RF. And as I said at the top of the show, it has been submitted to iTunes. This podcast has been submitted to iTunes. Maybe by the time this podcast is up on Podbean, it will also be up on iTunes as well. So that's exciting. we're going to be getting into a take on the Red Sox, a little Sox talk here. Daniel Bard has been sent down to AAA Pawtucket to work on his mechanics. Some stats from CSNE.com's Red Sox insider Sean McAdam. So far, Daniel Bard has gone 5-6 with a 5.24 ERA and has walked 37 batters in 55 innings. And Bobby V also commented on the situation. Here's what he had to say. He's been struggling with his mechanics. We just felt the best thing for Daniel and the organization was to get in an environment where he can just work on those mechanics and not have to worry about the big league record and his teammates. I think this will be a real quick turnaround. I don't believe that this is going to be a real quick turnaround. From day one, as soon as Daniel Bard wanted to move to the starting rotation, I hated that idea because this is what Daniel Bard is. Daniel Bard is not a starter. He is a guy that can come in out of the bullpen throwing gas, 99, 100, over 100 miles an hour, and get guys out. Strikeouts. That is what he is. He's got to come in the eighth and possibly the ninth innings and shut the door. That's what he is. That's the type of pitcher that Daniel Bard is. And he's got this idea in his head because he wants starter money. And we all know that starters make more than relievers. So he wants to get paid the big bucks. So instead of doing what he should be doing and doing what he's good at, he wants to get paid more just to be a starter. And it's so, so aggravating because he is not a starter. He's not a good starter. And I don't want to see him start anymore for the Red Sox. They're sending him down to work on his mechanics. Bobby V said that exactly. His mechanics. His mechanics don't need to be worked on. He needs to be changed from SP, starting pitcher, to SU, setup. That's what he needs to be, because that's the type of pitcher Daniel Bard is. He is that setup guy, and he should, for all intents and purposes, be your closer. Alfredo Aceves should not be the closer of this team, but Daniel Bard so adamantly wants to go to the starting rotation, and it showed. That game was... Oh, that was god-awful on... I don't even remember when it was. That game against the Blue Jays was terrible. That was a crap sandwich. That was just terrible. Two slices of bread and crap right in the middle. That was just ugly. Hitting batters. Oh, it was terrible. And so they send him back to... They send him to Pawtucket to work on his mechanics. And like I said, I just think it's a bad idea overall. He doesn't need to work on his mechanics. What he needs to do is stop being a starter. I've been hearing that the answer for Daniel Bard isn't just to throw him back in the bullpen. You got to work with him. No, it's not. We have starters. I mean, this Red Sox pitching staff is terrible, but we can throw somebody else in there. Whether it's, unfortunately, Daisuke Matsuzaka, or we call somebody else up. You know, I'd rather see Andrew Miller out there, to be quite honest with you, because Daniel Bard is not a starter, and he's doing a disservice to the team because he just wants to make starter money. Like I said, he needs to go back to the bullpen. No more starts for Daniel Bard, as far as I'm concerned, for the Red Sox. And especially because we saw last night, John Lester didn't finish his own game. They ended up bringing in Scott Acheson, and that, you know, that was huge because Lester had a 4-3 lead at that point. Bobby V pulled him out, and it was quickly given up by that bullpen. Every time I see Matt Albers, I'm just saying to myself, this game is over. I mean, at the end of the day, Jared Saltalamacchia gave you a chance at the end with that homer, which was clearly a homer. I mean, in that situation, you'd rather have Daniel Bard out there than Matt Albers or Scott Acheson. Like I said, he should be your setup man, but he doesn't need to. If you're having trouble in the seventh inning, you can have him come in the seventh and the eighth. It's a bad situation there for Daniel Bard because the bullpen obviously needs him, but he doesn't want to go back to the bullpen. It would really help this team if he made it back to the bullpen. So we'll see what happens with getting sent down to Pawtucket. We'll see what happens when he works on his mechanics. Hopefully he comes back. Hopefully the coaching staff, they see the light and they say, look at Daniel, if they call him Daniel, I don't care if you want to be a starter or not. You're not a starter. You're a reliever. So you're going to stay a reliever. Or, well, you'll go back to a reliever. All right. So that will end the Sox talk of today's show. And before we get out of here on today's sports talk, we will get to the talk to take of the day. For the talk to take today, we're going to get into Tim Thomas. TT. Timmy Thomas. He's going to be sitting out next season. What does this mean for the Boston Bruins? What do I personally think of Tim Thomas's decision? That's next. Back in here on the talk to take of the day right here on Sports Talk, powered exclusively by Podbean.com. Should I be saying exclusively if it's on iTunes as well? Well, it is powered by Podbean.com. So maybe I should just say powered by Podbean.com, whatever. Getting back into it here on Sports Talk, the talk to take of the day, Tim Thomas announced on his Facebook page after much speculation that he would be taking the year off. He will, in fact, confirm to be sitting out. And I have the actual Facebook post here. I'm going to read it. This is an abridged short version because he goes off into a tangent about how the economy is going to fail and all that crap. And we're not going to get into that. So this isn't a political talk show. It's a sports talk show. So here's what Tim Thomas had to say about next season. From the earliest age I can remember, I've wanted to be a hockey player. I've been blessed in my life to not only be able to live that dream, but to achieve more than I ever thought possible. The single-minded focus that is necessary to accomplish a dream of this magnitude entails, by necessity, sacrifice in other areas and relationships in life. At the age of 38, I believe it is time to put my time and energies into those areas and relationships that I have neglected. That is why at this time I feel the most important thing I can do in my life is to reconnect with the three F's: friends, family, and faith. This is what I plan on doing over the course of the next year. What does this portend for the future? We'll see. God's will be done. Signed, TT. Well, personally, for Tim Thomas, last year was unbelievable with winning the cup, and he just became such a hero in the city of Boston. A guy that came from humble beginnings in going all over the world seemingly just to get a chance to play hockey, just to get a chance to play goaltender. Finally gets one in the NHL, and you know, we relied on him heavily in the 2011 Stanley Cup playoffs. You know, we won the cup and it was unbelievable. So at that point, he was up there as one of the all-time greats, one of the all-time folk heroes of Boston sports. Then all of a sudden, that White House thing came down. And I personally, when the White House thing came down, I was shocked. And then I also read the message, the release that he put out personally with the White House snub. And I said to myself, what the hell is this guy talking about? I had no idea that this was Tim Thomas's viewpoints, because up until then, he was just almost the little engine that could, you know, just chugging along, trying to win a Stanley Cup, you know, really just pretty much just a quiet person trying to get by. And then all of a sudden, all this stuff comes out of the government's going to take my property and all that crap. And that really, I mean, after that, I still cheered for him, obviously. I was still on the bandwagon. I was still saying to myself, you know what? He might be an a-hole, but we gotta ride him this year in the playoffs. After that, that really diminished my respect for him and overall what I thought of him. And don't get me wrong, I lost respect for him, not because of his personal beliefs. Hell, you can believe whatever the hell you want. I don't care. Believe what you want. I'm glad that he believes in all that stuff. I'm very glad. I'm glad that he decides to post it to the world. That's fine with me. Good. I'm glad that you have your own say, your own viewpoints, and you decide to put it out there. I'm fine with that. Don't get me wrong. The reason why I lost respect for him is because when reporters would come into the locker room and ask him about it, he'd walk away. He would run away. And that just pissed me off to no end. And that's why I lost respect for him. You can have whatever viewpoints you want in this world, but if you get asked about it, you have to say. And of course, obviously legally, he can run away if he wants to. But that's just so childish. Like, I'm going to say whatever I want, and you can't question me on it. You can't even ask me about it. That's just like, no, 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 Tim. You can't have it both ways. If you want to say your opinions and make the world know that you think that you're going to have to buy ammo and guns and live in a shelter because the government's coming to take your property, if you think that way, that's fine. But if you're under the assumption that whatever your opinions are, you don't have to answer for them, you're out of your mind. And that's not the way it works. If you have your opinions out there, you're a public figure, Tim. You need to, when somebody asks you, you need to tell them straight up what you were thinking and what your opinions really are. You don't just run away and say, no, you know, I don't have to speak for myself. That is so crap. That's childish. And so that's why I lost respect for the guy. Say whatever you want, but when it comes time to actually explain it and talk for yourself, and then you just sort of bow out like that, that's just crap. And so it's all started with that. So I lost respect for him a long time ago. And another thing too about this whole situation of him sitting out. The Bruins were the first team in the NHL to really give him a chance. They gave him the chance. You know, we had goaltending troubles when he came here, obviously. Andrew Raycroft was terrible. Hannu Toivonen, you remember Hannu Toivonen? He wasn't working out. So we gave him a chance. And he took it, ran with it, and he was good. He was damn good. One of the best goalies in the world. And he repays us like this. I'm going to take a year off. Like, that's crap. You're in the last year of your contract. You have an obligation to stay with the contract and stay with the team. None of this bull crap of, oh, I'm going to take a year off to focus on the 3 Fs. Yeah, I'll give you 3 Fs. You know, it's unbelievable with this guy. All of these opinions, like, all of a sudden he became this self-righteous a-hole. Like, well, you know, these are my opinions, and that's, you know, you can't ask me about it. Yeah, I'm going to take the year off because of family. So it's just terrible. For me, it is. And originally, I would have wanted to see him traded. I wanted to get into some NHL offseason talk and really talk about the Bruins possibly dealing Tim Thomas. But that didn't happen. Well, it's not going to happen, I should say, because Thomas wants to sit out. I wanted him gone, to be quite honest with you, because it's Tuukka's time. He's getting restless, doesn't want to sit anymore, he doesn't want to play every other 5 days. He wants to play. So I want Tim Thomas out of here. I want to see what we can get for him. A fantasy trade rumor last year was floating around of Tim Thomas for Patrick Kane. I'd take that in a heartbeat. He might still have it in him. He might still have one championship run left in him. But I don't really care if he has it for somebody else. Good. Go to Winnipeg and have a good championship run and make it to the second round. Fine by me. Go to Chicago or, I don't even know, Calgary or Edmonton or somewhere and go win a Stanley Cup. I don't care. I really don't. It's fine with me. Your time's done. It's time for Tuukka. Tuukka's the one that's going to be here way longer than you. And it's time that we start giving him his due. Start putting him in there. Tuukka took a lot of flack for the series against Philadelphia in the 2010 playoffs, but he was young back then and inexperienced. I think now is the time that Tuukka starts, and I would have traded him this offseason if he didn't sit. So overall, I don't like Tim Thomas. I haven't liked him for a long time, and I don't agree with what he's doing. I don't know why he's doing it. Honestly, why he's doing it. Obviously, I just read his statement as to why he's doing it, but what's the real intention behind this? Is he being truthful? Does he really want to spend the year just with his 3 Fs? Because this guy has had to fight for everything. He has had to fight his way through multiple European leagues and just to get a shot at the NHL. And you're going to tell me now that at the age of 38, he's just going to all of a sudden quit. He's all of a sudden just going to hang it up for a season and say, you know what, I'm done. I don't think so. There's something else to this. Me, that's my personal belief. I think that there's something else to this. Like I said, I respect the fact that he wants to do those things. You know, if you love your family, your friends, your faith, that's good. But I really that into him that you're going to take the year off and you're going to just snub the Bruins in your last year, your contract, who gave you the chance in the NHL that put you on the team that you ended up winning the Stanley Cup with? Are you really going to snub him now? Is it really that simple as I want to spend time with my family? Or is there something deeper there, Tim? Or should I say, TT? That ends the Talk to Take right here on Sports Talk. What do you think about Tim Thomas and his decision to sit out the 2012-2013 NHL season? Again, get in contact with the show on Twitter, twitter.com/sportstalkrf, @sportstalkrf. Of course, the Podbean URL, sportstalkwithryanferrand.podbean.com. Leave some comments and ratings there as well. What do you think about the Tim Thomas situation? Daniel Barr as a starter. Predictions for game number 6 for the Celtics against Miami. As I said already, I think they're going to take it. And that'll be huge again. That will be Thursday night in Boston in the TD Garden at 8:30 will be the tip-off. Want to thank everybody for listening to the second edition of Sports Talk with Ryan Ferran, heard exclusively right here on podbean.com. The next show will be Friday. We're going to aim to get, show in on Friday to hopefully recap the series win for the Boston Celtics and preview the NBA Finals between the Celtics and whoever comes out of the West. I'm hoping that's what it is, but it's a possibility that we could also be talking about a Game 7. So Friday will be a full, complete Game 6 breakdown, what happens in Boston on Thursday night. But until then, thank you for listening today, and we will see you Friday. Go Celtics.